Good morning. So the topic of today's shiur is an extremely common shaila that comes up in Hilchos Ribbis. And the question is, what to do when you borrow something from your neighbor and you want to return it? And the question is, when does the Isser of Ribbis forbid you from returning that which you borrow to your neighbor? You borrow sugar, you borrow some eggs, you borrow some flour, you borrow some milk, and you want to return it to your neighbor. When does the Isser of Ribbis apply? When does it not apply? So we know that the Isser of Ribbis Midaraisa only applies in a very specific case. And that is a case called Ribbis Ktsutza, which means that the case of Ribbis Daraisa only exists when you initially borrow something with the condition that you return more than what you initially borrow. So you borrow $100 with the condition that you're going to pay back $120, that is the only case of Ribbis Daraisa. However, there are several cases of Ribbis Darabonon that Chazal established, one of them being the case of Sabsa. What is Sabsa? Sabsa means that you borrow goods, you borrow a commodity, you borrow a bushel of apples, and the deal is you're going to return the same amount of apples that you borrowed. So it's not a case of Ribbis Ktsutza. However, Chazal say, we're going to answer this midrabanon because of the concern that in the interim, the price of apples will go up on the market and you're going to return in value more than what you borrowed. So even though it's the exact same amount of apples that you are returning that you borrowed, nevertheless, it's also midrabanon lest the price go up and you return in value more than what you borrowed. That's a case of Sobasa. That's one of the Isur Midrabanon that Chazal established when it comes to Hilchas Ribbis. There are significant heterim for this Isur, but this is one of the Isurim when it comes to the case of borrowing goods. There's a second case of Ribbis Drabanon, and that is the Isur called Ribbis Meucheres. Ribbis Meucheres means that even if I don't initially borrow something with the condition that I'm going to pay back more than what I borrowed, nevertheless, I'm not allowed to add on B'shas Peruin. I'm not allowed to give him something extra when I pay him back, even though he didn't require it as part of the loan. Nevertheless, it's also midrabanon because you're giving it back in appreciation for the halva. And even if you're not doing so, it looks like you're doing so. And therefore, Chazal say, if you borrow $100, you have to return $100, but no more. And even if you decide to tack on a few extra dollars when giving him back the money, it's going to be awesome midrabanon because it looks like you're doing so in appreciation for the hava, and that is going to be considered ribbis. So this is a second example of ribbis midrabanon. So we now have listed two very important examples of ribbis midrabanon. Number one, the case of sabsa. Sabsa means even if you don't stipulate you're going to return more than what you borrowed, if you don't have any of the heterim that Chazal put in place, it's usur to borrow a bushel of apples almanas to pay back a bushel of apples because of the concern that the price will shoot up in the interim and you're going to give back more in value than what you borrowed. That's issur number one, midrabanon. Issur number two is the case of Ribbis Meucheres. I borrow $100, I give him back $100, but B'shas Peroin, when I'm paying back, I add on a few extra dollars, and that is either in appreciation for the loan, or even if it's not in appreciation for the loan, it's just that I don't have change, so I just give him extra. It's still a problem with Rabbanon, because it looks like you're doing so because he gave you a loan, and it's going to be Ribbis. Now, comes along the Mishnah, in Meseches Bava Metzia Daf Ayin Hey, and tells us that there's an exception to the rule. And even though we have just mentioned the Isser of Sabsa, where you borrow something and you pay back the same item, but if it's goods, we're concerned that the value will shoot up, and it's also Midrabanon. Nevertheless, Chazal did not prohibit the case of Sabsa if we're talking about a woman borrowing from her neighbor a loaf of bread. And this is where we come to the case of neighbors borrowing from each other. So you have a woman who borrows a loaf of bread from her friend, says the Mishnah, Meseches Bava Metzia, Daf Ayin Hey, it's mutter. It's actually a machlokes over there, but we paskin, like the Man Yomer, that it's mutter. We paskin that it's not included in the Isser of Sabasa. Now, why is that? So there's a machlokes in the Rishonim as to why Chazal did not forbid this case as part of the general category of Sabasa. And Rashi says, because even though you return a little bit more than what you borrowed, even if perhaps the amount of bread that you return might be more expensive than that which you borrowed, maybe the price went up in the interim, the price of bread certainly didn't go up significantly. As I zok Rashi, it's only going to be a concern of a dover muid. It's only going to possibly go up a little bit, and Chazal didn't worry about that. That's not significant, and we don't consider that to be a case of ribis. That's the opinion of Rashi. Taisva says that the reason why it's mutter is because, since it's not a significant amount, so we assume that the person's intent is not in appreciation for the hava, and he's just doing so because of convenience, or because he wants to give the guy a matana, but it's not a case of ribis, and therefore it's mutter. Other Rishonim present different explanations, but this is the bottom line. The bottom line is that there is no iser midrabbanan of sa b'sa when it comes to a woman borrowing a loaf of bread. And even though in value she's returning more than what she borrowed, since it's only a very insignificant amount, it's going to be mutter, because Chazal didn't feel that it was chashav enough to aser. That's according to Rashi. According to Taisus, because people don't intend when they give this extra value for it to be ribis, and therefore it's just a matana ba'alma, it's just a gift, and there's no iser of ribis when it comes to a gift. At any rate, this is the halacha. Now, accordingly, if you borrow a loaf of bread from your friend, you could return that loaf of bread the exact same amount, and it's not a problem of sabasa. That is what would emerge from this gemara. More than that, the Rashba says that even if it physically is bigger, if you borrow one loaf of bread and you give back a larger loaf of bread, the loaf of bread that you give back is bigger in size, it's still going to be mutter, because we assume that it's not a significant difference in size, it's not a significant difference in value, it's not chashiv, and therefore Chazal did not forbid this as ribis. So even though what you give back is bigger, nevertheless, it's going to be mutter. However, say the Rishonim, this is only if you return the exact same amount that you borrowed. If you borrow, let's say, 6 eggs, and you return 7 eggs, that, in fact, is going to be a problem of ribis. So what turns out is that if you return exactly what you borrowed, it's mutter, and it's not included in the Isser of Sabasa, and this, say the Paiskim, is not exclusive to the case of a loaf of bread. This applies when it comes to sugar, that when it comes to milk. Anything that you borrow, if you return the exact same amount, it's not a problem of ribis. If you return a loaf of bread and it's bigger in size, or you return an egg and it's bigger in size, again, that's not significant, and it's mutter. That's the halacha. However, if let's say I borrow a generic type of, generic brand of diapers, and I want to return a more significant, more prestigious type of brand. You want to return a quality brand? The Paiskim say this would, in fact, be a problem of ribis, because since people do recognize the difference between the two diapers, what you're giving back is considered in people's eyes more significant, and therefore it would be a problem of ribis. Now, if I borrow 12 eggs and in some of the eggs, I find blood, and I have to throw it out. Can I return 12 eggs? Or do we say that, no, it's going to be ribis, because some of the eggs that I borrowed had blood in it, and I had to throw it out. So I didn't really borrow 12 eggs, I borrowed much less. So is it a problem of ribis if I return a full dozen eggs? The halach is that it's mutter, it's not ribis. Why? So the Paiskim explain, because since 12 eggs... on the market has the value that includes the risk of some of it containing eggs that have blood in it. Therefore, it's all considered part of the value that you borrowed. You borrowed 12 eggs, and included in the value of the 12 eggs is the fact that it might have some with blood in it. Therefore, you're returning the same value on the market as what you borrowed. You borrowed a dozen, you're returning a dozen. And part of the value on the market of a dozen is the fact that it might have a couple of eggs that have blood in it. But al kaponim, this is what the paiskim say, there is a very important way to circumvent the entire issue. And that is that if you have neighbors that specifically arrange that whatever they give is matana, and it's not a halva, not a loan, it's a gift, and you're not obligating the neighbor to return that which you lend them, there's no problem with ribbis at all. So even if they return more than what they borrowed, even if they return 14 eggs when they borrow a dozen eggs, it's going to be mutter. It's going to be mutter because it's not a loan, it's a matana. That's a very important idea to keep in mind. And there's one more point. Some of the paiskim say that even if you don't articulate clearly that what you're doing is giving a matana, even if you say, can I borrow a dozen eggs? But if the derech of these two neighbors is not to be makbid, that they always return the exact amount that they borrow, so it's implicit in the arrangement that it's not really a loan, it's actually a gift. Because if the relationship is such that they're not makbid, that they return exactly what they borrowed, then we assume that what they're doing is they're giving gifts, even though they might call it a loan, it's not really a loan, and therefore there's no problem with ribbis at all. So that's also a very important piece of information to keep in mind. So again, if you clearly articulate that it should be gifts back and forth and not actual loans, you certainly avoid all problems. Even if you say, can I borrow, and you don't say that it's a gift, but if the relationship is such that you don't have any hakpada that they return exactly what they borrow, so again, it would be mutter. If you are makbid, that you return exactly what you borrow, and you call it a loan, so you have to make sure that you don't return more than what you borrow. However, if you return the same amount, it's mutter, and it's not included in the Issur Midrabbanan of Sa B'Sa, as we mentioned earlier. And number two, if it's even bigger in size, we don't worry about that. That's a Rajba. We don't worry about the fact that it's bigger in size because it's not considered significant in people's eyes, and therefore it's going to be mutter. As we mentioned, if you return something that has more value in people's eyes, such as the different types of diapers, then in fact, again, you would have to worry about the problem of ribbons. Have yourself a wonderful day.